are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on this Thursday Weekly Wink episode. Nick Winkler, my guest, joining me in just a minute. We will be breaking down the new trades that impact the NFC West, taking a couple of listener questions, taking a look back at the 5-0 start and ahead at the potential 6-0 start in Washington against the Redskins coming up here in Week 7. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. That's the place most of these people get their mailbag questions in and read on the air. Or you can email the show, LockedOn49ers at Gmail. You can subscribe to this podcast and all the shows here on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On NFL, co-hosted by yours truly, along with former NFL scout Matt Williamson. All of those shows on all of your favorite podcast apps. And now, let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Everybody, 5-0, what's up? Hey, they put a smackdown on those Rams. That's easily the best game of the year. I mean, even better than the game I went to. Just, oh, man, I was yelling at the screen. I was accidentally scaring my son because, you know, he doesn't really understand why daddy's yelling at the television. But yeah, that was fun game. Good times. I got to be completely honest with you, though, Brian. I'm nervous about this weekend.
Oh, are you? Are you nervous about the 10 a.m. start, the cross-country trip? The 49ers have shown they can win in that East Coast time zone.
Yeah, they have, but I still am. I'm nervous about it. I'm nervous about a letdown game. You know, you're talking about a team they should dominate. They should really beat up on. And this is the NFL. There's a lot of guys out there with pride. Maybe this is, you know, Washington coming out, and this is their Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, they can give the 49ers their first loss, and maybe the 49ers are like, you know, Washington, this should be easy. I hope not. I really hope that Kyle's got these guys in the right frame of mind, and he's like, guys, don't let up. You know, we've got something special here. Let's do this thing right. You know, you got Deebo Samuel a little bit banged up. You're still missing both of your tackles, although both fill-in tackles have played extremely well for what they've been put up against. So
unreal.
I'm cautiously optimistic. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's been amazing how those guys have filled in, both Justin School and Brunskill. There was the one Aaron Donald pass rush they got by Justin School, and then he wasn't really brought up the rest of the game, which is always a great thing for offensive linemen. Daniel Brunskill, according to Pro Football Focus, was the highest graded offensive lineman in that game for the 49ers. So, and actually in the preseason, I thought Brunskill actually outplayed School. I liked what I saw from Brunskill, so maybe the 49ers found a little a nice little piece there, a nice little depth piece with Daniel Brunskill, who's a former tight end in college and bulked up to play offensive line in the NFL. So all the fill-ins, Emmanuel Mosley, all those guys playing well. I do have to bring up a major shakeup here in the NFC West. The Los Angeles Rams making multiple trades on the minor side of things. They have traded for former second-round offensive lineman Austin Corbett from the Cleveland Browns. And then on the major side of these trades, they gave up two first-round picks to add Jalen Ramsey and then sent off Marcus Peters to the Baltimore Ravens. How do you feel about what the Rams are doing, and how much do you think that impacts the 49ers? And, I mean, I'm thinking short-term, long-term, what do you think the play is here with the Rams? Are they just smart to be going after the best possible players they can, or might they be hurting themselves both by adding another player who's going to collect top-of-the-market money along with some other players, Donald, Gurley, Goff, that are already collecting top-of-the-market money at their positions, and then not having first-round picks for the next few years to recoup some young, cheap talent?
Yeah, I'll be honest. When I first saw that trade, I kind of giggled a little bit, because I'm like, yeah, give up more capital. I love it. Yeah, come on. Give up your future for this guy who's a locker room cancer, this guy who, you know, he's always got a back injury. I have a feeling he's going to be magically healed this week now that he's with the Rams. I love it. I feel like there's not – I get it. Ramsey's a great cornerback, but is he that much better than Peters that you're going to go and give up that kind of draft capital? Like, that, to me, just – seems like a knucklehead move. It seems like that wasn't really your area of weakness. And that's where you're going to go spend some future draft picks? Cool. Cool. Thanks a lot, Rams. Yeah. Appreciate it.
And I wonder if maybe it was a little slap in the face. The Rams have lost 3 games in a row and thought they needed to obviously do something drastic here. They're right. In third place now in the NFC West. It's going to be a tough go for them even to get into the playoffs. I think my colleague here on the Locked On Podcast Network, the host of Locked On Bengals, Joe Goodberry, brought up a good question. He said, okay, who is that premier wide receiver in the NFC West that the Rams need Jimmy right. Ramsey to shut down and shadow? I mean, Tyler Lockett, and I brought up the fact that maybe the best receiver is not even a wide receiver. Maybe it's George Kittle. And I don't know if that would be a matchup that the Rams would try to utilize, but it's a little bit surprising. My first response was, well, does Jalen Ramsey play the offensive line? Because that's the reason the Rams lost that game. It wasn't because of their cornerbacks.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Goff, he looked a lot like Alex Smith in his first year with San Francisco. You know, just dropping back, guys in his face, and just going down or just throwing the ball at a receiver's feet. Like, it definitely brought me back to those days because Goff looked horrible, albeit he had no time. And I'm sure, you know, you mentioned Mosley. Mosley's played amazing out there at cornerback. And Sherman, again, playing solid out there, the secondary, just locking guys down. And the pressures on Goff, it was there all day. And it's been there all season. And it's really, really shown the difference that pass rush can make. And, yeah, adding Jalen Ramsey doesn't help that, not in the slightest, for the Rams. So, yeah, I loved it. I thought it was an amazing move. I don't think he could have gone to a better team for me. Like, that was perfect.
Wow, okay. I mean, he is a great player. So adding great players is going to make things difficult. And
but like you said, if he goes up against the 49ers, who's he taking out? You know, taking out Goodwin, taking out Pettis. Okay. Like, with the 49ers spread the ball around, I'm not worried about that.
And obviously they have to play some other teams around the league. And if you're trying to make it deep into the playoffs or in the Super Bowl, you're going to face some players. So it's not just about playing the teams in the NFC West. And it always does help your defense if you can shut down one side of the field and maybe you can roll coverage the other way. And it's just interesting. I didn't think the Rams would be the team to make that move. And I thought maybe the Eagles would make a lot more sense and some other teams around the league that are good everywhere and really need some help at corner. And maybe that's why they had to pay so much. Maybe there was a bit of a bidding war. But the Jaguars actually played this one right. And it looked like, I was like, what are you guys doing in Jacksonville? Really? 2 first-round picks? And they finally got their 2 first-round picks plus a 4th-rounder from the Rams. So kind of a wild trade.
Crazy.
Very interesting. It's going to take a while to play out to see who wins this trade after a couple of years and we see those first round picks and see what happens with the salary cap and see what happens with the Rams. But that's been the Rams MO in the new regime there, the Sean McVay era. Les Snead's been very active, adding top end talent. You know, the first year it was Dominican Sue and they brought in, you know, a bunch of high priced guys and Talib and Marcus Peters, and now they're folding through some other players. It's just very interesting, and they're doing things differently than a lot of teams around the league, and we'll see how that plays out. But you know, and I'm not surprised though that the Rams are sitting there in a situation where they're like, dude, we got to do something. We cannot be 3-3. We're supposed to be the best team in the NFC right now, and we just lost 3 in a row and we're getting passed by 2 teams in our own division.
Well, I think it also says a lot about the 49ers and their scouting department and their practice squad, you know, that they can lose both starting tackles. They didn't have to go out and make a big trade. They didn't have to go out, you know, and bring somebody else in. That the guys that they have as backups are better than what they, you know, they thought they could get, you know, for some future picks. So I think that, yeah, just another testament to what those guys are doing there in the front office.
Some serious next man up happening right now in San Francisco. Coming up, we've got some mailbag questions. We'll talk Redskins 49ers in week 7. This podcast brought to you in part by Peloton. Peloton is offering a limited-time offer. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925 925- 678-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find them online at gregstaxservice.com. So I want to take a look at the injury timetables here, and maybe potentially if there are some trades to be made and how this all works together. Taking a look at Akella Witherspoon. He's out 4 weeks with a foot sprain. That would possibly get him back by October 27th against Carolina. You got Joe Staley, 6 to 8 weeks. Possible return there October 31st. That's the Thursday night game at Arizona the next week. I don't know about that short week. Maybe you wait to take any of these guys back and get them into action, because someone coming off of an injury that they're out for a month plus and they play Sunday, then a short week Thursday, it would just make more sense to hold them out for Sunday, have them come back Thursday, October 31st, that primetime game, and then you have the long week in recovery after that, rather than trying to get guys back, and maybe they come back, and then you hold them out again for right. Thursday, because short week, I don't know. So I think October 31st, Thursday night, is a good target for a lot of these injuries. Mike McGlinchey, his 4 to 6 weeks will put him out around November 11th. That's the Seattle game, potentially December 1st at Baltimore. Kyle Juszczyk, MCL sprain, 4 to 6 weeks. Similar timetable to Mike McGlinchey. It happened at the same time, so either November 11th or sometime as late as December 1st at Baltimore. That's the 4 to 6 week timetable. Here's an interesting one at wide receiver, and this is, I think, the position that might come into play if the 49ers were looking to make a trade before the deadline. Trent Taylor still out with his foot injury. Possible return any point after November 17th against Arizona. 8 weeks for the IR to return. The 49ers can bring up to 2 players back from injured reserve. Jalen Hurd, he was put on IR just before week 5, so he's 2 weeks later after Trent Taylor, potentially coming back November 24th. That's the Green Bay game. Are either of those players, in your mind, enough of a boost to the 49ers wide receiver core in that late in the season, November 17th or November 24th, that you would say, you know what, that's what we're going to get. We're going to get those guys back. We don't need to make a trade for, say, AJ Green. Because I've heard that argument. It's like, oh, we're going to get these guys back. My argument to that is, okay, maybe they will come back. Maybe they won't. I mean, you're talking about a stress fracture in Jalen Hurd's back. Maybe he's got to be longer. Jalen Hurd, we've seen how hard it is for a rookie in Deebo Samuel to get on the field, be consistent, get consistent playing time, and make an impact. And he played wide receiver and started 3 years in college, you know, and Jalen Hurd was a running back and only played 1 year of wide receiver in college. And I know he had one nice preseason game where he made 2 catches, but is that enough where you're like, oh no, we're good, because this guy who's played 1 year of wide receiver in college and had one nice preseason game where he made 2 catches is going to make some huge impact for the team and come back from a broken back. So I have some reservations there about how much they can rely on those players, even though by all reports, Trent Taylor was really playing super well in training camp and was looking awesome, and he would be nice to have back in that slot role. We've seen him flourish, be a chain moving jitterbug type, but the injuries are a little bit worrisome with Trent Taylor. Or do you think, okay, 49ers, look, our division rivals are making moves, other teams around the league are making moves, let's put in a serious offer, whether or not we get the player, let's put in a serious offer for AJ Green or Emmanuel Sanders or maybe even Mohamed Sanu. Are you in that boat right now? Let's go see what we can do at the wide receiver position. Maybe swing our own deal. And remember that fight, by the way, AJ Green versus Jalen Ramsey a couple of years ago. Maybe get that going again in that second Rams 49ers matchup.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you really can't compare Trent Taylor and Jalen Hurd to the guys that you named, because those guys are well established in this league. You know, they can be that number one wide receiver. They can be that guy that stretches the field. That can be that guy that goes in and gets the ball. Whereas, you know, both Hurd and Taylor, I like them. You know, I like them both. But I think that if you can make a move and it's not going to sell away your future, like what the Rams are doing right now, I'm all for it. I'd love to see, you know, an AJ Green come into here. But then you got to think about a 31-year-old that's coming off of a really serious injury that, you know, doesn't have a contract. You know, is he going to want a contract? You're talking about Emmanuel Sanders, another guy coming off of a pretty serious injury that has shown flashes this year of his old self. And but at the same time, you worry about those sorts of things. So, like, what are you giving up? for these guys that could come in and maybe just play 1 year, maybe, you know, maybe not even really help you out all that much. You're looking at a 5-0 team. It's hard for me right now to give up anything more than a third round pick, you know, first, second, third. I don't like it. I don't think that it's something that you go and do if you're the 49ers.
According to Benjamin Albright, who's a plugged in guy in the Denver area radio guy, he said the Niners are among a few teams that have made a call about Emmanuel Sanders. And so we'll see if the Broncos.
We got to check. Yeah, you got to see what they're willing to part with, you know, or absolutely what they want in order to get him, sure.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think AJ Green would be the first call I would make. Winless team, makes too much sense for them to try to get something for him. The question is, what do you offer? What are you willing to do? It has to at least start with a 2021 third rounder, in my opinion, because AJ Green, if the Bengals let him walk, they're going to get a comp pick, which will be a late third round pick. So that 49ers draft pick, even if they won the Super Bowl next year, it would be an earlier pick than the comp pick would be in the third round of 2021. Would that be enough for them to say, okay, we'll do it, even though we're going to get a pick that's maybe not that much higher than what we'd already get? Or do we just let our guy go and maybe try to re-sign AJ Green? Do you throw a first rounder at them? Do you throw a second rounder? What do you offer for AJ Green? Like, what's the top you would go?
I don't think you can go ahead of that third round, you know, and I'm hesitant because he's 31. That's when guys lose it, you know, and he's coming off of a serious injury and he's very injury prone as well. You go look at his career. I wonder how many times he's even played 16 games in a season.
Taking a look here at AJ Green, and since he was drafted in 2011, he's played 16 games, 1, 2, 3, 4 times. And actually, he played all 16 games in 2017.
And okay, so that's not far removed. But how many did he play last year?
Last year, he only played 9 games, and he has yet to play a game this year.
Yeah, that's what scares me the most, is he turned 30 last year. And as someone who just turned 40, I know that the body breaks down.
It is a slippery, steep slope.
It is. Once you hit that wall, man, there's no coming back.
And he's a rental. So I agree. You can't offer too much. The 49ers don't have a second rounder this year anyway. So if a third this year or a 2021 third got it done, or a 2021 second rounder, that would make sense. I would say, yes, I would understand making those deals. And definitely would not be talking about a first rounder for a potential rental player. Here's the other thing, though, is you get that comp pick. So you're also getting a late third rounder back, most likely, for the 49ers, because he'll sign a nice deal somewhere and probably will get to that third round comp
pick.
That's
a good point.
Yeah. So you have to look at that too. So if let's say it's a 2021 second that you offer, you're getting AJ Green and a very late third round pick in that same draft.
Which you might be picking in that same draft. You might be picking that late anyways.
Mm-hmm. Right. So
you hope so. But then, you know, and then the Bengals know that. So then do they want something else? Is it a third and a sixth or something?
Right.
Or a third this year and a third next year.
A pick this year and a future second. Or a conditional pick. It's a third next year. If he plays X amount of games, then it becomes a second next year. I would understand if they would ask for that. I wouldn't be doing firsts, and maybe that's their thing. And that's the other thing is, and we saw it with the Jaguars. They're like, okay, well, there's going to be one team out there that's hard up and going to give us something stupid. Then we'll make a trade. Right. Until then, we're not going to do anything. And then so maybe
I'll be shocked if he plays for the Bengals this year. I really will be.
And there's no onus on him coming back and rushing back to play for a winless Bengals team, get healthy for free agency.
Yep.
If you're AJ Green, make a business decision there. Sort of like the back injury for Jalen Ramsey. We'll see how hurt that back is. I bet he is no longer hurt magically.
I have a feeling that's correct.
Yeah. So just real quick, looking at the rest of these injuries and the IR guys, the 49ers could bring back two of the following players potentially. Trent Taylor, Jalen Hurd, Jason Verrett would be available to come back after the Green Bay game. Kentavious Street could come back after Halloween. And Garrett Celek, who's on the PUP list, physically unable to perform, he can start coming back anytime now because he had to be out for 6 weeks, or he gets put on injured reserve. I mean, if he gets put on IR to end his season, that could be like, you know, maybe the end of a season or even his 49ers career, and we'll see how that's going with Garrett Celek's back. But the fact that he's been out for so long and was put on the PUP list anyway is
not good
news there. And Levine Toilolo has been doing pretty well and got the most snaps he's gotten so far for the 49ers last week. Been doing pretty well in that block first tight end role.
He's a giant human being.
He's huge. 6'8", 280 pounds.
When he made that catch, I was like, damn!
And still kind
of walking back, towering over the offensive lineman. You're just like, wow, that is a big man.
Yeah, he's huge. And he's even put on a lot of weight and really taken to that blocking role since he's come into the league out of Stanford. But he's been nice. He's been a nice little addition. He even made a little move after the catch, which was surprising for such a big guy.
That was. Good to see.
Let's hit this mailbag.
Sounds good.
This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? Put that knowledge to use. If you're listening to this show, you're obviously a well-informed football fan, whether you're betting on the 49ers, betting on some of the other games around the league. Make yourself a little cash with MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Let's start with our guy, John. He says, remember last season when everyone was calling for Robert Saleh to be replaced? What a difference an offseason makes. And he's absolutely right about that. And not only, and here's the other thing, is Robert Saleh is getting all the credit and he got crushed before. He didn't deserve all the blame. He probably doesn't deserve all the credit right now, but he's getting a ton of TV time, which is great for his career. And his agent, I'm sure, is super excited about him just getting shown in prime time. And that was sort of his coming out party along with Nick Bosa. But I think it's more on the bullets and the players they have up front.
Yep.
Adding Nick Bosa, adding D Ford to that. I think the coaching staff has been massively upgraded as well, with Chris Kocurek and Joe Woods on the back end. And I will credit Robert Saleh the most for one thing is, and maybe this is a lot of Kyle Shanahan twisting his arm and be like, look, we've got to tweak some things because right now it's not working. But they went out, got him players, so that's good on John Lynch. They tweaked the scheme a little bit. They're playing more two high safety instead of all single high, a little bit more man, you know, more interchangeable stuff, changing up their looks more in the back end, and then incorporating that wide nine front with better players on the defensive line. So a combination of things. It's not just all Robert Saleh suddenly making the team miraculously better because he's calling such a great game now compared to last year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Robert Saleh in a few years, he's going to start interviewing for head coaching positions and things like that. You just know that that's coming because of the TV time and because of the success he's having here. And, you know, that being said, you nailed it. It's all about the bullets. You know, it's all about the players they added around him. I mean, you know, Kwon Alexander really has made this team a heck of a lot better going into this season. And it's fun to watch, I'll tell you that much. And just his enthusiasm, mm-hmm. and it's got to be infectious. You know, it's the kind of guy that just, oh, yeah, he's just, you know, he's like, Saleh smash, you know, like it's awesome. It's fun to see. It's the kind of guy you want. Run your defense. And yeah, I don't think I was ever one of the people calling for Saleh's job. I was always just like, come on, you know, give him some players, you know, give him this, give him that. So it's really fun to see that it's actually working out, you know, that he's getting things right. And, you know, as long as they can avoid the injuries, that's the key here. And they've had a couple already and they've plugged in and they've been good to go. So, you know, the next man up mentality, it's really important in the NFL because injuries are going to happen.
Absolutely.
You know, you just hope that it doesn't, because the last couple of years, it feels like they've really been snake bitten. You know, it's really, and you haven't even mentioned Jimmy Ward today at all. And he played a heck of a football game. And that's really fun to see. And, you know, hopefully he can stay healthy. That would be huge for this football team.
Yes, both safeties playing well, Jimmy Ward and you hope he can stay healthy and that can continue. And Jaquaski Tartt.
Yeah.
He doesn't get talked about hardly at all with this defense and how well he's playing. The linebackers are playing great. I think it was Richard Sherman's press conference after the week 6 game. And he just said, Jaquaski Tartt, Jaquaski Tartt. He wanted to get his name out there. And I'm sure that's much appreciated by his teammate. And his name should be out there. So props to Sherm for bringing that up and props to Tartt.
And what an addition Sherman's been, too. I mean, really, just leader on the football team.
It was hilarious, though, that play at the end of the game and they couldn't connect on it. But all of a sudden, the tight end, Gerald Everett's running free down the field. Sherman's chasing him. He's like, we couldn't even give them a free play, right? The 49ers were dominating that game. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, whoops, something just happened. And nope, no touchdown. But just that kidding. was for some reason, it made me chuckle because of how dominating, and the Rams literally were gaining zero or negative net yards for most of the second half of that game on offense. And then there's one play where it's like, oh, here's a free one. And just seeing Sherman chasing after a tight end and getting roasted by a tight end, how much fun they probably would have had with that watching film later and be like, man, Sherman, did you just get toasted by like 15 yards by a tight end?
Well, and you mentioned it too. Like they didn't do anything in the second half. And after that opening drive where they just ran it down the 49ers' throats, everybody was worried. I know it. Everybody's like, oh, holy crap. That looks really easy for them. The adjustment that Saleh made, you know, it's impressive. That's the kind of guy you want, you know, leading your defense, leading your football team. You know, going into halftime too, you know, Shanahan was out there making adjustments. And that's what you got to do. You know, you have a plan, you know, something that you're going into a game. And then it looked like immediately it's like, okay, plan B. And look what happened. You know, they had a great first drive, LA did, and then that was it.
And the time that the players have had in this scheme now, year three, both offensively and defensively, you're seeing, I think that's a big reason why they can plug in a player who's not a starter that plays well, because the scheme's in place. Everyone knows what they're doing. They can help each other out. Well coached on both sides of the ball also helps that happen. So, yeah, a lot of things coming together for the 49ers right now. I want to go to a question here from Kung Fu Cody. He says, would you sprain your MCL to get juice back? And I think this is an interesting question, Nick. If you had to choose one injury of one of the 49ers who are hurt right now, you replace them, you get their injury, and they get to come back, which guy would you choose?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a Staley guy, so I think I'd probably be Staley, but that would suck.
Broken leg, misery style.
Yeah, wait. Okay, let me think. What did McGlinchey have? Was it a knee? I've sprained my MCL before, the thing that Juszczyk's going through, so that really sucks.
I've had my knee scoped. I've had the exact injury that McGlinchey has. I think it's a partially torn meniscus or something like that. So, yeah, an arthroscopic knee surgery, not super major, no.
I wouldn't trade. I'm happy with the guys that are filling it. That the MCL, it sucks, dude, because you can't do anything. Like, even in the middle of the night, you move just the tiniest bit, and it just shoots pain all through your body. So it's a rough one that they're all three going through. I've never had my knee scoped, but that doesn't sound fun.
Achilles is the foot injury.
Oh, and I've hurt my feet. Foot I had a sprain, microfracture in my feet, so that sucks
too. I don't like foot stuff. Definitely wouldn't mess with the back stuff. I think scope. I think McGlinchey's knee scope, since I've gone through it, and I know it's definitely something you can come back from and be 100%, even for me who did not have those world-class doctors and rehab stuff going on. So, yeah, that would be the one I would choose. If you're forced to choose one, I'd pick McGlinchey's.
Yeah, I guess if you're forced to do one, that, yeah, I guess that's the one.
Good question there. Here's one from Joe. How much longer do we have to keep listening to Booger McFarland prattle on Monday night National Football televised games?
Dude, it's rough, man. It really is. Although I was completely on board with his anger towards the officiating in that game, because I'm not a fan of the Lions or the Packers, obviously, but the Lions really got hosed in that game. Like, they should not have lost that football game.
Here's one from Gotham. Do you think having a head coach like Kyle Shanahan with a playoff and Super Bowl experience helps? Follow-up question to that. He says, now that Bill Belichick has defeated Shanahan's Falcons, McVay's Rams, and Super Bowls, both similar offenses, do you think he's found a measure for that offense?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yes.
But give Belichick time. He will break down your film, and he will figure out a plan for you. That's why he's the greatest coach probably of all time.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. I mean, obviously, you know, we come from the Bill Walsh roots of, you know, the West Coast offense when we were young, and, you know, we didn't really get – there wasn't the coverage that there is now. And I'm sure if there was, you know, Bill Walsh would have been the biggest name in the world, you know, because you're talking about a guy that revolutionized the game of football. But that's what Belichick has done as well. You know, he's done something that just seemed unthinkable, and that's just to just do it year and year and year and year and year, 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 every single year. The guy's out there, he's getting it done. New guys, doesn't matter. You know, as long as he's got his quarterback under center, everyone else, interchangeable.
One more here from Aaron. It says, what's going to happen when the starters return from their injuries? Will school move to right tackle? If Staley's back before McGlinchey, E-man to the bench, even though he's playing better than Sherman? I don't know about that. Definitely not going to put Sherman on the bench for Mosley. Or
I can't see that.
He's coming back. He says, do we keep Sherman after this year? Make him a coach? Your thoughts, by the way. Walking into work after a Niners win is a great feeling, especially when the Rams fans and Cowgirls fans are salty.
I like that. I see everybody going back to their positions. Mosley's played extremely well, but you know that's the kind of depth you need, you know, on a football team, is to have that third outside cornerback that can get it done. And I think that, you know, that when it comes to the offensive line, who's playing better? You know, when the first guy comes back, and maybe that's who moves over to right tackle. Maybe they just want to keep some continuity.
Right.
You got a guy on the right that's been out there, and you just keep him going.
I would say that.
It's hard.
I would say they both played equally well. Whoever comes back first, you leave the guy who's already on the left,
sure.
You leave the guy on the right who's already on the right. Don't mess with that. And I don't think there's a big difference, actually, between Brunskill and School. I know School was the draft pick, and he was the one that got the first shot out there. But
right.
Brunskill, I think, played as good or better than School in the preseason from when I was watching there. So I think they're both pretty even there as far as those guys' talent goes.
Yeah, sounds right.
And to end this, shout out to listener Cameron, who dropped a little theme music for us. So we're going to roll out to a little song produced by Cameron, a.k.a. Not a Llama, an original for the Locked On 49ers podcast.
Breida is a beast, like a pit bull off his leash. Bosa off the edge, about to knock you off your cleats. Ay, not to mention Jimmy G, hitting Kittle up the middle, breaking 80 like it's three. Quan and Fred stop him dead in the tracks, it's a fact. Defensively monstrous, all of violently attacks. Shanahan does have the plan to defeat his owner, man. The fans in stands, they cannot stand the Seahawks or the Rams. And when we see them, we establish in our dominance in the West. Prominence comes in tests, our pass when they are met. We locked on with Brian and Nick. Mostly Brian, who's supplying every day with our fix. It's a Niner empire and we bringing them hits. Opposition who we hitting, building brick by brick. We locked on with Brian and Nick. Mostly Brian, who's supplying every day with our fix. It's a Niner empire and we bringing them hits. Opposition who we're hitting, building brick by brick.
Ooh. The wink shout out
Cameron.
There. All right.
Anytime I get a shout out, I'm in.
Oh, yeah. I know you love the shout out. So, yeah. Thanks to Cameron for that. That was cool. And thanks to everybody for listening. Be back tomorrow right here. Locked On 49ers.
See ya.